in Christ Jesus, whose birth is the good news we proclaim today, dear fellow redeemed. One of the most awe-inspiring events ever to take place in the history of the world is described in less than 30 verses. God becoming man. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel Gabriel was sent to Joseph in a dream, and he said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." In Luke chapter 1, the same angel Gabriel was sent to Mary, and he said to her, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." That's four verses. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, the Lord describes the events of that first Christmas evening. And not only do our children know those words by heart, they recited it to us last night, but many of us also know those words. 24 verses. And that's it. God has compacted all the information we need to know about the incarnation in less than 30 verses. We'd love to know more, but we know enough. Even as God in His Word gives us just a glimpse of this amazing miracle, so this morning we have four Christmas vignettes, short literary sketches of this amazing miracle. Our first vignette, as you see in the bulletin this morning, is called "Alone." Luke 2, verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Shepherds were common in Israel. In fact, they've been since the beginning of time. The very second son born in the world, Abel, we're told, was a shepherd. Shepherding was a very lonely job. It meant spending endless hours of watching and sitting, watching over your flocks. It meant spending many hours of boredom, watching and waiting for any predators to come along, and then instant action to defend your sheep if and when those predators came. Well, these shepherds were outside of Bethlehem on that night, all alone, doing their lonely watching, not with their families, who were probably having reunions. Remember, this was when the emperor had said all people should go back to their hometowns. Families were gathering together for the census. And here they were, all alone, out in the fields, watching their flocks. And yet God found them there, all alone, and proclaimed to them the great news: to you is born this day a Savior. Well, sometimes we feel all alone and isolated, even with all kinds of crowds of people around us. Sometimes, especially when we're trying to glorify our Heavenly Father, who set us apart from the rest of the world, we feel isolated and alone because of the persecution of unbelievers, who treat us a little bit differently, look upon us as being kind of strange and different because of our faith. And it's exactly at times like that when we feel worried and burdened because of temptations and sin and ostracism, that the Lord comes with this good news and says, "To you is born a Savior." Our Savior comes to us and tells us, "Come to me, all you are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest." We're not alone. We're not so far from Bethlehem, that the Lord couldn't call us to and lead us to see our salvation and also rejoice. Vignette number two, home for Christmas. Luke 2:11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So much of the Christmas story depends on people being at the right time in the right place. Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth. That's way up in Galilee. And yet the prophecy was that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, way south in Judea. She was about to give birth to a baby. Very unlikely that they would make that trip at that time in their life. So, God planned the Roman Emperor to make a decree that all the Roman world would go back to their hometowns, their birthplaces, for the census. They had no choice. To Bethlehem they had to go, even as she was about to give birth to her baby. What extraordinary measures the Lord used to bring it about, to get them to the right place at the right time at home for Christ's birth. Then there were the shepherds. They're out there, as we mentioned, that night, watching for the nighttime predators. Very unlikely that they would leave their sheep at that time to go somewhere else. Yet the Lord sent an angel. In fact, a heavenly host of angels to proclaim to them the good news. And they ran with haste, leaving their sheep to go home for Christ's birth. And there were wise men many, many miles away to the east. Perhaps they were thinking, it's just not feasible, not necessary to go so far to worship and honor a little baby boy born so far away. But then God let them see the star, and they realized the fulfillment of the prophecies was there, and with joy they traveled long, long miles to go all that ways to bow down and worship the newborn king. Such extraordinary measures our Lord took to get these people to the town of David. He must have really wanted them there. And he did. Home for Christ's birth. So where were we at that time? We were in God's heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave us his Son 2,000 years ago. And then, many, many years later, he caused the Holy Spirit to work through the gospel in the hearts of all of you and me. So we too were brought to faith in Jesus Christ. And we came to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. What extraordinary measures the Lord has used in your hearts and in your lives and mine, so we too would be here in his home for Christmas. Third vignette entitled, To You. Luke 2:11, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Christmas is for children. Who better at showing excitement? Who better at looking forward to this day with eager anticipation and longing that just doesn't seem to get here fast enough? Isn't it amazing? When you're a child, it seems like it took forever. You had Christmas, and now as adults, it seems like the days go so fast, we aren't even ready and prepared for that day. Why is that? Perhaps because children don't have as much preparation to do. Because our children prepare for their Christmas Eve parts, and they buy the little gifts and wrap the presents, but their to-do list for Christmas is far shorter than their parents. They simply look forward to treats and presents that someone else has bought and made and prepared. So what did the shepherds do to bring about the first Christmas? Or even prepare for it. They've been learning all their lives about the Messiah's coming. They heard about it in the Scriptures and were preparing and learning their whole lifetime. And yet when Christ came, it was like in a heartbeat, just that quickly. They had nothing to do to bring it about. We're told, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Who knows how far away they were from Bethlehem, out in their fields. They may have been miles away. And yet when they heard the news, to you is born a Savior, the shepherds ran to Bethlehem like excited children, running down the steps, running to the tree, opening their presents that their parents bought for them. They ran to Bethlehem to receive the gift from their Heavenly Father. We're even further away than the shepherds. And yet to us is born a son. To us a child is given. Truly it's not we who make Christmas special, even if we give many gifts. We too, all of us, are like children this morning, eagerly, excitedly coming to church to see and worship our gift. After all, Christmas is for children, for God's children, to see, to enjoy, to appreciate, and to worship the great gift our Heavenly Father has given to all of us. Part 4, go tell. Luke 2:17-18. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The words of the angels and the events of Jesus' birth changed the lives of these shepherds forever. They didn't quit their jobs and become preachers of the word, missionaries in some foreign countries. Now they went back to their jobs as shepherds. They went back to their daily routine of watching their sheep day after day. But now they were Christmas witnesses, Christmas believers, Christmas missionaries. They were the first ones to be able to say, the Messiah, Christ, has been born. Not the Messiah, Christ, is coming. And they were so thrilled that they told everyone they saw on the way back to their fields. They had to share the good news with others. So how about us? Are we sharing the good news of the greatest gift ever given to the rest of the world? Well, our children did last night with us. That was in the safety of this congregation with other Christians around it, around them. But what about out in the world? You know, one of the best ways to keep Christmas alive in our hearts all year long is by giving it away to others. That's right. The one way to keep the gospel secure in our hearts is by giving it away and telling others about Jesus. We too have come to see Jesus born in Bethlehem with eyes of faith. We too have heard the good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We too have witnessed the greatest gift of all of mankind. We've been told that we have a Savior from sins, one who is born to go from the manger to the cross to the empty tomb to the throne in heaven for you and for me. And we too are surrounded by people who need to hear this, who don't know why Jesus came. We may not be the first ones to spread the gospel like the shepherds, but we might be the first one who tells our neighbor. Maybe the first one to tell that relative of yours, or your fellow worker, or your classmate, or a stranger whom you meet. Jesus is born. The Savior of the world has come. to take away our sins, to give us the gift of everlasting life. As we ponder this good news this morning, may the Holy Spirit fill us with the same zeal and eager desire and determination that the shepherds had on that Christmas night, so that it is impossible for us to keep this message to ourselves. Impossible for us not to say something. Impossible for us to remain silent. But, like Peter and John said, we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. And the gift of our Savior from sin will be a gift that will be given not just for this life, but for the life to come, for eternity. A celebration and a gift that will never end. Amen.